Everyone, this is the Gianna and Scott show. But as you can see, that is not Scott sitting in the place. That is my wonderful very first member, Tamara. And that's how Tamara became a moderator. Tamara, welcome, welcome, welcome. How
Thank
are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm great.
You look amazing. You know why you look amazing? Because you're free. Oh my gosh, look, you have a 1776 necklace too.
Oh, well, some fabulous person sent this to me.
Right? Yep. You know what's so funny? I always do my Amazon returns at the Whole Foods because then I purchase this insane little, I've never seen these anywhere else, these little ice cream sandwiches, only like this big. They're like 4 bites for $2. And they're from Hawaii. And they're these unbelievable, like drugs, little cookie ice cream things. And I buy them for the Amazon girls too, like however many people are working there. And so I went yesterday and there's always different ones. And the girl's like, oh, I remember you because of your necklace. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool. Because I have this necklace, 1776, and it inspires conversations. So I like to have it to find your tribe because it's also very funny. Some people don't know what it means.
Yeah, that's sad. No clue.
They don't know what it means. So we are in the second coming of 1776. Tamara, you were my first member and you're the greatest first member story because I was building the university, which took like 4 months. And you messaged me and I don't even know how you found my email because I really didn't have everything out that I have now. And you're like, hey, I need to join your university. And I said, well, I'm not going to be ready for like 30 days. And you said, okay, I'll wait for you. And I'm like, oh, wow, that is so exciting for me. And please tell everyone, why did you want to wait? What was going on in your life that you needed some help with freedom?
I have two German Shepherds and I love them, but one of them, she went over next door and attacked my neighbor's dog. And it was, I took care of the vet bill, took care of everything. And I still got a summons to court from the sheriff. So I need help with that because I've never been to court before. I have had a speeding ticket before, but I've always paid them. You know, I'm a good little servant.
Good sheep, right?
Yeah. So I had to have help and you were putting that out there that you was going to be doing this with tickets and everything. So I emailed you as quick as I could.
Very cool. And the funniest thing happened. I know that this is a memorable moment in your life. Let's teach the audience. So I schooled you on how to go to court. And please tell us the magical sentence that every person who needs to be free, who wants to be free, needs to know. What did you tell the little Justice Court of Kansas?
Yes, I asked them if they could present to me a contract with my wet ink signature on it, basically saying, you know, okay, what contract did I sign that I agreed to pay your fine for my dog biting somebody else's dog?
That compels me to perform. And the reason that sentence is the most powerful sentence to learn is because the courts have been corrupted and transformed into private corporations. And as such, they need a contract to do business with you. So they're not doing business with Tamara, the lovely woman sitting in front of us, the living woman. They're doing business with her entity. That would be her all capital name. And a lot of people don't understand this. It takes a lot of experience to figure it out. That's your entity. That's what the bank calls it. The federal rules of civil procedure call it your vessel. They cannot force you as a living woman in the spirit of God, like it's you, your body to be held responsible for their charges. Now there's a reason they're called charges because they're charging you money and you don't have to stand for that. And what happened in that case?
They had no contract. And so they told me, oh, well, we'll check our records and make sure everything is okay. And then we'll email you our findings. And I knew I'd never given my email to anybody in the court. And so as soon as he said that, I just kind of it was all smoke and mirrors. And I walked out not paying anything that day.
I know you were really scared. We were talking a lot and texting, and you know, I'm sure the court has never heard this before. Yeah. You are a woman who is very happily married. You homeschool 8 children, Christian, everything. You're like what America dreams of being again. And you're just the most wonderful member, because then when you came in, and it's certainly not what it is today, we have the most amazing university today, but you're like, hey, this place is great. And I was like, oh, wow, like you made me feel so good that what I was doing, because I had spent so much time doing it.
Better. It just keeps getting better and better. And I just love it.
It's amazing. So I'd love to touch on some of the other things, because you have not left that university. Well, this university, I feel like that one, because it's different and it had a different name back then, but it was going to turn my phone off here. What was it? Where was I going with this? Oh, you've had other things happen. And that university opened up November of 2022. And so it's a year and a half later. And I could say definitely you graduated because you are a fierce freedom fighter, but you're not leaving. Why have you left?
Because of the community and everything I keep learning. And I love to help people as much as I can with paperwork, with encouraging them and just pointing out statutes that are fraudulent. And people, they see it, they read it, but they don't really get it. And because I've had experiences in the courtroom, I can tell them, no, it's all fake. You know, it's right. As you go through it, you'll learn and understand that more.
We're going to talk about some of the fake stuff, because once you get your first victory, how did you feel? Like, okay, let's back up a second. You produced canceled checks that you paid for the vet bills for this neighbor's dog. And still the prosecutor was like, I have to check on that. And then you caught the lie.
Yeah,
because they told you a lie. Because here's the reason for the lie. There's all kinds of other people in the courtroom and they don't want to know. They don't want the sentence you said forever. What did she say? She's walking out of here without paying them a dime. That's the common law. Statutory law means, why would you pay the court, the prosecutor, why would you pay the government when you had a situation between you and the neighbor and you gave her remedy? The dog was paid for and repaired. You know, it's a little bit of a bite, nothing crazy, but you know, there was some vet bills. Why would you pay the state? And that's what we mean by the contract. And so the lies, we're going to talk about a lot of lies today because Tamara's been through a lot. So then number two, traffic tickets. So you are like me, your husband, well, not your husband because he's a truck driver, but your daughter, your oldest daughter's 20. Mm-hmm. You do not drive on a driver's license either. Little mom Tamara from Kansas is driving. I'm a city girl. She's a country mouse. I'm a city mouse, driving with no license. And what gave you the confidence to do that?
Because it is all just a contract. And when I have rescinded that contract with the state, I'm no longer under their jurisdiction. And I've learned through the university and coming to understand all these contracts and paper and stuff they want you to sign that is they're trying to contract with you. And that's all it is. It's a contract.
It's just a contract. And it's they call it an adhesion contract. It's a fraudulent contract because it's unilateral. One way, you go into the DMV, hey, can I have a driver's license? Please give me permission to exercise my right to travel. So you fill out the application, you're paying them, you're asking them, you have to take a test and qualify. They check your vision and then you say cheese to the camera and you sign a piece of paper with your all caps entity name. It's not you, it's your person, your persona. And that is different from you, the living woman, the way we spell our names, like we can show our names. Where's I don't know how to put our names back up here. Maybe if we just take off the banner. See, we spell our names like normal. That's called your proper name. I'll leave that up for a little bit. That is the proper name, upper and lower. And people think this is poppycock. Like, I'm not even a mom and I say poppycock. It is in the Chicago manual, styling manual, that the bar card, I like to call them bar card idiots. Mm-hmm. The bar card knows what this is. The bar card people understand the difference. And here's how you can test it out. We have paperwork to stand up for tickets. So even if you, like, say your husband has to have a driver's license because he's a CDL, but you're packing in the minivan and he's got his butt in the seat and you're going to church on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Just because the license in his pocket is a CDL doesn't mean he's driving in commerce. He's only driving in commerce when he's a truck driver and all your little ones are in the back seat. So it's the intent of the butt in the seat at the time. Even if he were using, let's say he's transporting all you guys, yeah, your minivan is broken down, but you want to go to church and you're all piled in his truck. That's a commercial vehicle. But if the intention of his butt in the seat at the time is in the private. So if he were to get pulled over for speeding, it is not relevant. Just because you have the license doesn't mean you give up your inherent right to travel. There's a gazillion things from the Supreme Court about this. And people ask sometimes, like I asked Scott when I first started learning from our co-host Scott, how do I learn about the common law? It's not really written. Like, if you go to law school, you're learning statutory law, but the common law is a lot of, it's common sense.
Yeah, first of all.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's much better handed down like lecture to lecture. So we have this amazing common law library that I just started building. It's got 30, I don't want to say lecture because that sounds bad, but let's say audio lessons in there where a man is teaching and he's since passed on, but he's like the most amazing common law. He speaks the same way our Scott does. And so Scott had studied Supreme Court rulings, but there could be Supreme Court rulings for corporations, but there's also Supreme Court rulings for common law that are people situations. So that's the best way to learn. And so it's not going to be overnight. It takes some studying and some time. And for me, like I'll watch some news in the morning and then all day long, I'm listening to these videos because it takes your brain to unlearn and untrain. Yes. Oh, like, so I'm a bad girl. Okay. I'm driving without a license. I drive in the private. I have removed my car, my automobile. I drive a Jeep and I've removed it from the state registration. And then I went to make sure it was removed from the state registration. Now I have a private plate on the back and inside the university, we teach you step by step how to do these things. It's not willy-nilly because you could still get pulled over. You have to know how to handle the window. So, okay, your daughter, your fabulously brave daughter, got pulled over driving in the private. And tell us what happened.
She had rescinded her driver's license and taken the tag off. And so I'm helping her with paperwork. And the paperwork has gone through the process now where we send them a third paper. And you just keep stating your rights and you're demanding those rights in your paperwork because you have those rights and you can't give those up. So, yeah, we're kind of at the point where we're just sending our third round for right now.
So even though she's in the private, because I am very straightforward with people, something could happen, but it's not a big deal because once you no longer have, they hold the license, oh, if you don't pay this, we're going to suspend your license. And you think, I can't drive, but you can still drive. And then there's a technicality between driving and traveling, but the word drive has been changed to like no longer mean driving. Because imagine when there were horses and cars at the same time. You're traveling. You're not driving a horse. I'm traveling to town today. That's the vernacular that people use. But now we all have cars. We don't have horses. So we say it. But technically in the law, eyes of the law, driving is operating in commerce. But So, and then if your car is registered, they own it. That's, oh, you got to get your smog. If you don't pay these tickets, we're going to take your car, but you remove that jurisdiction by pulling it from the public listing to the private. So even though they gave her tickets, you could technically just toss them in the garbage, but we like to teach them. We like to fight the civil servants. It's actually like a hobby for us. So you sent your paperwork challenging the tickets for having any illegality. Well, they're illegal and unlawful because they're illegal on their part because you no longer agree to the driver's license. There's no more contract. You've rescinded and purged, but they still send them. And then of course you send a second round of letters, which is no big deal. It costs the price of a stamp, you know? Yeah. And we have all these letters done for you. And if everyone stood, like, imagine everybody driving in the private, you would cut off the head of that snake. Because I'll tell you, why do you think they give illegals driver's licenses? It's money, 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 money. It's more money, more people, more money, more people, more money. So imagine driving around and you see everybody with private plates who's not operating in commerce. So if you're driving your car with Uber, you're going to have a registered car. It is what it is. If you're choosing to do commerce, it is what it is. But for the majority of people don't do that. So now they disregard your second letter, right?
Right.
And they say, there's a warrant out for her arrest.
Yes. And so the warrant and everything is a threat. It's a threat against your bodily harm. And you, under the rights, under our Article 3 of our Constitution, we have the Bill of Rights and we have our rights to stand on. And so I sent them a very strong letter demanding that they expunge the warrant because it's not constitutional. It's violating her rights.
Right. And we haven't heard from that yet. That's still fresh, right?
Right.
And they're not likely to say, oh, you're right, we have no jurisdiction. But what will happen, as has been happening with my tickets in the last 2 years, which I have two stops in 22 and three stops in 23, I still had a license. I've not had a license. I've been in the private all of 24. I haven't been pulled over yet, you know, but I am taking those officers to court for 23 because I did tell them I'm operating in the private and they violated my rights. So we'll see what happens. But you looked up to see if there's a warrant. And what did you find?
The first time I looked, I didn't find it. And I know that they were lying. So I told you about that. So yeah, it was just, it's interesting how they will lie or to try to contract with you. Now, since then I did find it, but I was kind of wondering, you know, if they just put it out there because I was looking. So after I found it though, that's basically it. It is a threat. You know, it's a threat, and I have it in evidence now to move forward if I want to with a civil tort claim.
What is the charge listed?
The charge, it's threat against bodily harm. Oh, for
what's on the warrant? Like sometimes they'll use citations and statutes that aren't even real.
Right.
To try to scare you.
No, it's just to detain her because of the tags and the driver's license and everything. So,
but the first citation, was that for, like, how did they phrase it that you don't have a state plate?
I don't remember exactly because okay. She didn't have tags on the car. So,
yeah, but she has a plate that she made, right?
Yes. Yeah. She has a private plate.
And you don't have to do that. It's just easier. You know, you're not such a target to be pulled over. And, you know, I live somewhere that if I go to park, I have to put in numbers, you know, like a plate. So I make my plate. It's GM with the year I was born. So if I park somewhere, you can just hit the buttons and plug it in. And, you know, it just makes life easier. If I didn't live somewhere where I had to park, I would have a different plate. And you know what the beauty is? If I'm going to move, I might change my plate. I could do it anytime I want. And so the reasoning is that there is no law. The statute is for a motor vehicle. And if you go through the research in Black's Law Dictionary, a motor vehicle is only a motor vehicle because you registered it prior to the registration, which you have no obligation to do. You are driving an automobile. And I've had to battle this with the building I live in. I live in an apartment. They send in a tow truck once a month and they're like, oh, you know, this is an unregistered car. Yeah, it is. It is. I don't have to do that. And I am in compliance with the lease. The lease refers to motor vehicle. And so we had a little game of tennis. I said this, they said this, we went back and forth. And then they sent what we like to call scary letters, like, because they think we're stupid. And so we send back a letter to handle that. And Tamara has become, people in the membership call her a letter ninja. And she has a class tonight, you guys. So we're going to talk more about letters, but let me announce the class tonight. Let's put our banner back up. Inside Alienable University. I'm not getting good at this. There we go. Inside the Inalienable University, we have a 3-day free trial, and there's so much going on. Traffic tickets was the way I started to help people, but we have advanced so much. So yeah. You have handled tickets, you have handled the dog bite, and now you're dealing with the fraud of bank fraud, like bank mortgage. So you did a forensic audit of your mortgage and found out that the place you are sending your payments to doesn't actually own your mortgage.
Yes. And they don't own the debt of it.
They don't own the debt. So you guys, once the note is separated from the contract, as per an 1872 Supreme Court ruling, you believe we talk this way now? Remember in the beginning, we didn't know anything? And you'll memorize what you want to memorize when it matters to your freedom and your pocketbook. When the note is separated from the debt, both become null and void. And so some people, like I've told a friend, well, you got a free house. I sure did. However, if I don't make that payment that they've already been paid on because they sold the loan and securitized it, then that payment goes in the asset column of the bank.
Yes.
They can loan out more, 10 times the fiat money. No actual money was created. But the homeowner is paying a bank that's already been paid. There has to be in a contract consideration of value exchange. So we have a class called forensic loan. I think I changed the name. It used to be Break the Bank. I think it called forensic loan audit now. And it goes through the extreme detail. So if Tamara didn't make the payments, the bank can take her house that they don't actually even have the right to. And why should they get to do that?
All right.
Now, so we have a service where we preemptively address this. So don't get behind, get your mortgage audited. And if your mortgage gets audited and it has not been sold, which might be 0.0001% of the loans, you would get your money back for that audit. But if it does, we begin what's called a course of performance of a process to call the bank out. You did this, you did. So that process is in a nutshell. You sold the loan. So of course, if your audit comes up that your bank doesn't own the loan, you would it would be silly to make those payments. You know, we can't give you financial advice, but it would be silly. Hey, this mortgage is fraud, but I'm still going to pay you. You know, it doesn't make sense. But so if they try to foreclose on you, they're going to be called out and exposed. You actually can't sell this, foreclose this house. You don't own it. You don't owe the interest in it. Maybe you might know the term because you're going through the process, but they don't have the interest in it, the controlling interest in it. Mm-hmm. No one actually does.
No.
No one has
property, right?
Why not you? Because you're the person, you have the usury.
I inhabit the land here. So it's
exactly. So, but also what comes with that challenge, and well, let me back up. If they go to foreclosure, they will be exposed because they don't have the right to do that. So they would be taken to court. Or if they want to challenge you, great, let's go to discovery. Here's the forensic audit, which gets done by a 18-year, maybe even longer, but he's been doing this for like 18, 20 years. Forensic audit private investigator. The security got investigated by a third-generation private banking analyst. So he does the analyzing. He sends it to the private investigator. He makes an affidavit of a report and sends it to Scott, our non-bar card attorney who's created the curriculum. And so I've seen other places where they claim this. Like there's something I saw yesterday for $1,000. You can get this audit. Like, first of all, you get what you pay for. But however, you're a person who's been through this. Mm-hmm. It's not like this. It's not boom. The bank is going to lie, cheat, and steal to not give in until they are pushed into a corner. We like to say they're put in a box and you put the tape on top of it.
Yes.
You get to do this, or we're going to expose you for all the fraud money you made by the security. So it just takes a little time. You have to have the strength to get through it, because it could be like a 3 to 6 month period of them sending scary letters. So didn't something happen today?
Yeah, I received another round of letters from the bank, the scary letters. And this isn't the first round of letters I've gotten. This, the first round and the second round, they're not signed. And there's no actual demanding of or telling me to do anything. They just send these letters of copies of stuff. Now, the second round they sent from claiming that Freddie Mac owns my property. Well, I happen to know that my property was sold at auction through a sheriff's sale, and it was sold to the bank. Well, okay, so if the bank owns it, you know, supposedly, why is Freddie Mac on it now, you know, 10 days later? It makes no sense. So they're just sending stuff to try to threaten me.
They're caught in lies. And the same thing happens with the tickets. If you stand up and really, I've been very lucky that I have a 100% success rate with my tickets. The first ticket I stood up to took three letters to back down the clerk in Mississippi. And all she ever did was say, you better pay this money or we're going to tell Florida about your life, you know, put a suspension on your license. Well, I live in Nevada now, so you go tell Florida whatever you want. But that really wasn't the point of it, is that I would fire back at her. Are you presuming to hold trial without me? Because one, it was a court, not a court of record. The judge was not elected. And there was a third thing. I can't remember what it was, but, and I was nervous to stand up, but it took three letters. And honestly, no one stands up. So what's happening right now is they just don't know what to do. The civil servants don't know what to do. And yesterday we had, we have two CPS situations in the last 6 weeks. March was a big month for CPS for us. And it's not something that we focused on, but we have a class called Keeping Your Kid Out of the Matrix. Mm-hmm. And so we had this one couple that was in there. They were like the first pregnancy, the first baby being born into the university that was not going to be in the matrix that I knew about. We have another couple that has older kids that have never signed a state birth certificate, have never received social security numbers. And you can do that. There's a little maneuvering to be done for banking. You can't bank without a social security number, but you don't have to bank. It's just for convenience. You know, you can do other things. But even if you want to get a social security number, it doesn't mean you ever have to use it. You could just use it. It's like a door to commerce. Okay, here, bank, here's my social security. So you can open up a bank and get a debit card. And you know, if you grow credit, if you want to use credit cards, Scott doesn't use any credit. He doesn't want to deal with the system. And I have paid cash for my car. That I bought a new car for my move to Florida. And I'll tell you, it's the first time I did it my whole life. It just never occurred to me, because why not use other people's money? But I tell you, I feel so amazing.
Yeah.
And you own your car too. Mm-hmm. It feels so amazing to just not have an obligation to answer to anyone.
Yes.
But also, so my new car, now my car I have here still until I move, is removed from the state, but they could probably look up the VIN and find something. This new car will have no ties to an address, no ties to a name, no ties to anything. It'll be, my car is so free. I'm like, woo, yeah. My car is so free. Awesome. And so in the Keep Your Kid Out of the Matrix, we had this couple that was very prepared. They were having, you know, we have I think the show number 3 goes into the details of this, but just pointing out that there's no contract, and it really came to light. We have a Zoom recorded that we did. Scott represented them as their private counsel in a Zoom with CPS, like a dozen of the CPS psychos. And it proved by the end of that, they are looking in their head and their perception and what they are taught. If you have a state birth certificate, if you have a driver's license, if you have a marriage license, they feel they have jurisdiction over you. So you did not know this and you have 8 children. What have you done to remove your children from the matrix?
I have sent to the vital statistics of my state to rescind the signature on them. And I'm telling them that I don't agree to this contract because, number one, it's a fraudulent contract because an entity cannot contract with a living man or woman. So that right there, I can't contract with the state of Kansas. State of Kansas can't feel like I can. So yeah, I've gotten my kids out of that. So therefore, if they ever try anything, you know, that I have to go back on.
Now we are working on going to those offices and demanding the birth certificate be purged.
Yes.
But it's new and no one's ever done it. I mean, if anyone did it, I don't know. We've never heard of it. But we can't go to their offices and demand they do something. Like, someone can't come in my house, Gianna, move that couch to the other wall. But you sent it, you rescinded it. They did not fight you rescinding it. It is a unilateral contract that was offered to you, you know, I don't know how soon after you gave birth, but it's offered to you under duress. And should that ever come down the pike later, you have a record that you removed yourself from that contract. Did you do your marriage license yet too?
Yes. And there's a process more to that. So, but I've started that. Yes.
Wonderful. And you'll share that with us when you go. You're like, since you're the first member going through everything the first. So that's something that we'll offer too. Again, it doesn't mean your rights have been given up because we say, they are inalienable.
Yeah.
However,
contracts, you have every right to stand on them. So don't fear because you haven't done something that you can't stand on your rights, because you absolutely can.
It just makes the battle with them easier. So the couple A, we'll call them, never married under the state contract. They married under common law, which is more than, hey, just move in with me. We teach a process for you to do some records, and these records, should you ever need them down the road in court, they will stand up in court because you have witnesses to your ceremony. You pledged your love to each other and your commitment under Almighty God. People sign these things. You make a certificate. Their child never filled out a state birth certificate. You can also make your own. We don't want to call it a birth certificate because that's the statutory terminology. We call it the birth event. Because that's really what happened. And when you're in the hospital under the state, like if you're not aware to leave the matrix, that's the starter is the certificate of live birth. It's technically classified as an event. And then they make the birth certificate, which makes your all caps entity. And like, oh, here, get the social security number. And here, and we've got a class inside the university that will show you. That was totally mind blowing when I found it. And I find it on their websites, you know, their websites say that. So it's a chart. You're in the hospital, you sign this, and it goes here. It's got, you know, one of those line graphs. Here's all the places it goes in the county. Here's all the places it goes in the state. So your child could be born today.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who gets notified about DMV?
Yeah. Why?
The DMV? Voting, because they're waiting for you. They're waiting for you to come along and get you again.
Contract over there.
Program you into another contract, which technically children cannot enter a contract until they're 18. So again, the lawlessness of this, illegal is what you agree to. So for instance, I started to say earlier, I did not drive on a driver's license. I live on a block where a lot of times I'm coming back to go on my block and they have a light, and it's not a very busy street, but it has a light, and you have to wait for the turn left on red. Well, you're supposed to, but it's sparse. Yeah. And if it's, there's no cars, I'm not waiting and I will take the turn. And I know sometimes there's, it's a two lane left turn. I was like, boom, boom, there goes Gianna. Cause I live right around the corner here. And I know people are like, what is she doing? But if I were to get pulled over, I have no agreement with you. I have no contract. And just because I don't have it doesn't mean I'm reckless or unsafe. Of course I'm safe. I'm responsible. To live under the common law means you are responsible. You're not out wilding. Okay. So we did, you did tickets, no, your birth certificate, your marriage, you're fighting the bank fraud. And then yesterday, so you are a letter writing ninja. We both are. And yesterday we created a letter that I asked Scott, hey, we have this situation happening. And Scott will go, boom, 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 Gianna, do this, this, and this. So he'll give me the spiel because he knows I'm not a beginner. And I can take his recommendation and compose something. And then I have Tamara look at it because she's fought something. So we have a gal that it's another, not quite CPS, but her child are in the public school. She has one homeschooled child and two are in the public school. Mm-hmm. And so a few times this child was sick where she went to the doctor where, I don't know, do you still have to show the school a note? Because your children are homeschooled, yeah. So who knows, but isn't it enough for the parent to just call the school and say, my child is missing school today. We went to the doctor. We're going to the doctor, whatever it is. But they're trying to bring forth a citation of truancy against a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
Like how much school could this child miss that they're truant? Because I know this woman a little bit, you know, she's a member and we've had communications. I see what she participates in. I speak to her on the Zoom. I mean, we're not best friends, but she seems like a very decent mother. They are mm-hmm. have both parents. She's a stay-at-home mom. Like what could go wrong in the truancy? And so the way this is being handled, because this was really funny, is a sheriff deputy has come to the house and put this yellow door hanger on, you know, it's got, you know, what door hangers look like when the political, it's square, it's got a little hanger, so it hangs from the door. This is not an official capacity process in any way. And it says, please call the sheriff's office, but this guy also leaves his cell phone on there. And he has written in his name, Deputy Smith. And this is, let's tell the people who they are. Let me see. What the hell is the, I'm looking at
Kentucky. I know
it's Kentucky. Oh, wrong one. Let's tell who the tyrants are. No, I might as well pull this up anyway, because I want to talk about this letter. It is McCracken County Sheriff's Office. And we put together like the mother of all letters. It's very ninja. And so, of course, the first time this mother is scared and she's, Gianna, I got this. What should I do? Mm-hmm. Well, what does it say? And it says, please call the sheriff's office in regards to a JV summons. Okay. It says, please, that's a request. There's been no due process. What is due process? Due process means somebody with firsthand knowledge signed an affidavit or even a complaint under penalty of perjury that you did this. You harmed me by doing this. There's no person harmed or injured from truancy. Truancy is nothing but it's like less than a traffic ticket even because at least in the traffic ticket, you've agreed to the driver's license technically. And so I call the guy because I had no fear to call the guy. Now I have a New York cell phone number and I'm not hiding it from him because what's he going to do to me? You know?
Yeah.
These people are in Kentucky. And I call, he doesn't answer. I text him and I'm like, first we were looking for him on the employee list and she didn't see him. So, okay, well, let's find out with this because maybe it's a scam or something because it's weird. And so he calls me back and I ask him, are you employed at the sheriff's office? So when you go look online, he's not really listed as in this area. He's listed as a process server.
Yeah.
But he's called deputy on, and maybe he was. So he said he used to work there and then he retired for a couple years and now he's back. So maybe he's just like a part-time guy and he might make, I don't know, $100 for every one of these. He's trying to serve her.
Okay.
And nobody needs to volunteer to be served. So he's like, well, who are you calling about? And I said, well, it doesn't matter. I'm just trying to find out if you're a real employee. And, you know, we had a kind conversation. And then we fired off a series of warning notices that you originated it when you had some problems with people. Yeah. Like There is no contract. We cannot express that to you enough. That's what you need to learn. That's all administrative, and it requires a two-way street with your entity. So if you as a living woman want to volunteer, you're free to volunteer to be governed, but why would you? Mm. And so the second one comes after we have fired up these warning notices. And so second round of warning notices go out. No, not even yet. Not even yet. But we didn't think it was a big deal. Then a third one comes. She sees him come and she just doesn't answer the door, but she's scared. She's home alone with kids. The husband went to work. I'm sure it's scary. Then the fourth one, and she has the notice taped to the door. The notice says, do not trespass on my property. She has the no trespass signs. And this is something else that, like, it really made me mad in the membership when people go to that no trespass area, but they don't read. What does this mean? In right. what area? It's very strange. The government is very strange. They have a license to come on your property unless you tell them otherwise. No. Okay, great. We'll tell you. So we have a place where you can buy these wonderful property, no trespassing signs. And it's more than just going to Home Depot, no trespass. It has the code and the law and how it all works out. So, you know, it's very scary. We're going to very scary them right back. So they have the signs, they have the notice on the door, and yet this man is violating the signs. So, okay, we start to fire off letter number that, well, they got four, like the daughter opened the door. Mom, we got another one of those things. And so I call again yesterday because we have to warn them to stop. Nice. And I get April, the clerk. What the hell is this place called? I keep forgetting. The McCracken County Sheriff's Office in Kentucky. And mm-hmm. I said, ma'am, did you receive the warning letters? And I'm very nice because I don't give a shit, you know. Mm-hmm. Did you receive the warning letters? She goes, she's not answering. And I said, you need to stop harassing this family. That's what the warning letters are for. And she said, it's not harassment. This is about, she said the daughter's name and the children. I said, no, ma'am, there's no due process. There's no affidavit. There's nothing. Don't bother them again. And she puts me on hold, but she doesn't tell me she put me on hold. And so then I figure out I'm on hold and I hang up. And then I call back a little while later, maybe 10 minutes later, and they put the sheriff, the top sheriff, let's name this jackass too, Sheriff Ryan Norman. Wow. So here's what we do. Here's what makes us ninjas. Okay. Yeah. First, know thy enemy. Okay. Now we got, who's Ryan Norman? Is he elected? I mean, I think most sheriffs are elected.
Yes.
Is he elected? He's 39 years old. Mm-hmm. What is this building entity? Because go looking, the sheriff's office, the police, the court, and something, they're all in the same building. Okay. Yeah. So, okay. What's your plan of attack? You have to know the enemy first. So also, you know, you can purchase that background stuff. We purchase that and we go background checking him. I do find some homes, but they're like 5 hours away, because if we find his home address, we're sending it to his home. And how's that violent? If your address is in the public, you're in the public.
Yeah.
That's why we teach you not to be in the public. So I don't think you can find my home. You will definitely not find my new address when I move. We find a home that's like 5 hours away and it's like $500,000 house, and $500,000 house in Kentucky is a mansion. You know, and I'm like, oh, this guy's a sheriff, but it's 5 hours away. Maybe it's his parents, who know, but it comes up on the background thing. And I get a cell phone, but I'm not gonna bother a cell phone. You know, I'm not invading. I don't want to do anything illegal, but if we had found a home address, so like for instance, my real estate attorney from my building was bothering me and misapplying statutes and threatening to tow my car if I didn't register my car. You can't make me register my car. Yeah. So I did a background check on him because the address of his office is just a place they collect mail. Well, I don't know that you're going to get, you know, my letter there in a time. I sent it to his home address. I wrote to him on the letter. I say, I'm very bitchy like this. Said, oh, congratulations. You just met your first woman of value who lives in the private. You might want to try it, because that's how I found your address. It's also a sidebar. The reason like title lock is all over. We got to get into title lock. That's the way people can get your title and steal your house.
Yeah. It's all in the public.
On the public. And I looked that up today, and that home office is where I'm moving in Florida. So I am going to make a visit to them. I just looked that up before with this show started.
Awesome.
Getting back to why we are ninjas. So in the letter, you know, where they think it's not harassing anyone. So this notice is called a notice of I can't say this word ever. Declaratory judgment, demand of rights in common law. We are not asking you to give us our rights. And here's the biggest misconception, is that people are waiting for politicians, like even, I'm going to keep saying it because I don't know if everybody watches our shows, but at the Mike Lindell Symposium, at the Steve Bannon event that was here in Vegas 2 weeks ago, we asked Mike Lindell's panel of most likely the most expensive Harvard-trained lawyers in the country, why didn't you bring this case for the election fraud under an Article 3 common law court?
And?
We don't have common law courts. We use them all the time. When you make your demands under the common law and you know what you're doing, which we do now, Tamara's the ninja. She has a class tonight inside Inalienable University. When you know what you're doing, you will scare them away. They cannot answer to this. You can only get an Article 3 court in federal court, and you demand it. You don't ask the judge. You don't motion the judge. You send a demand. So the letter is called Notice of Declaratory Judgment, Demand of Rights in Common Law. And here's some of the powerful sentences. You know, the first sentence, by what authority does McCracken County Sheriff Ryan Norman, a civil servant employed by the private for-profit corporation of McCracken County Sheriff's Office, owned by the County of McCracken, Duns, I put in their Duns number, yep. Know your enemy, go searching for the Duns, claim jurisdiction over this family, I don't want to say their name, in regards to four attempts to serve a request for a summons. Now, a summons... people all over Twitter think a summons does, it's just, would you come over and have a conversation with us? No, I will not. And people are like, so what's happening now in the big picture? Well, Hunter Biden got summoned to a congressional, I think it's called the Judiciary Committee. Mm-hmm. He went in, he's got lawyers.
Yep.
And held a press conference. No, not going. And people will sit and scream on Twitter, oh, special for, you know, justice for the, no, his lawyers know it's a request. But Steve Bannon, Peter Navarro, they got the same summons to come to a J6 committee. And they said, oh, no, we're not going because we have executive privilege. No, you did it wrong.
Right.
You did it wrong. You didn't stand under the living man. No, thank you. I don't consent to that. And then they consented to being governed. Their position they brought up got slammed down. So then they've been found guilty of contempt, misdemeanors. Peter Navarro is the first person ever to be serving jail time 4 months for a misdemeanor. And what is the misdemeanor? Bad attitude. You're in jail in Miami for 4 months. So listen to Gianna and Tamara, because we've never gone to jail. Well, I've been arrested, but I've never gone to jail. So Tamara, I composed this letter and I sent to Tamara. Tamara, give this a look over. And she, her ninja skills, put this killer paragraph in at the end. I want you to understand, okay, under common law, I will demand restitution pursuant to Title 42, Section 1983, which states every person who under color of any statute, color means fake, the statutes, ordinance, regulation, custom, or usage of any state or territory of the District of Columbia, because all these corporations, like the county of, I can't remember, McCracken, it all goes boom, boom, boom. It's all under the umbrella of Washington, D.C., which is a corporation. Causes to be subjected any citizen of the United States or other person within the jurisdiction to the deprivation of rights, privileges, or immunities. It goes on and on and on. For the purposes of this section, any act of Congress applicable exclusively to the District of Columbia shall be considered to be a statute of the District of Columbia. And I didn't read the whole thing because it's long. I will demand compensatory damages. And so what we've done in our power letter three is, okay, what can we do if the sheriff and the police are in the same building? Yeah. Now, so is the judge. So she could file a complaint with the police that they're harassing her, but not really anything's going to happen, you know, and we know that. And he knows it too. Cause I did get on the phone with the sheriff and I spoke to him and he's like, I said, you know, do you have an affidavit to be sending this? He's like, that's how I hear him in my head, you know, it's jackasses.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I have it. Okay, who signed this affidavit? Who signed an affidavit under penalty of perjury filing this complaint against the family? Is it, well, and he might be looking at something. And that's really funny, is that when they called me back, they thought I was this person, the mom.
Okay,
yeah. They live in Kentucky, but I have a New York cell phone. But they're the only one in the whole town who is getting this yellow little door hanger because they just assumed, they didn't ask, are you Mrs. So-and-so? They just said, is this her? And I'm like, no, okay. I said, no, this is her private counsel, the assistant to her private counsel. And so, okay, what can we do? So we're thinking, well, We'll look for the family court judge because the judge knows what we're talking about. The judge has a higher responsibility. And the sheriff has said to me, oh, where did you get your law degree? I don't need a law degree. I know how to read and the law is clear. The law is simple. Statutes are complicated, but the law is very clear as we just read it to you. So, okay, I said to her, get me the judge's name. Get me the county attorney. And this was interesting too, because I don't care if they watch it, McCracken County, Kentucky. The check this out, you guys, because this is why you have to know your enemy. Okay, we find the judge. Fine. And we go find her ISLN number. That is her bar card license number. We have this in the university, how to do all this stuff. Okay, let's go looking for the county attorney, because the process is the sheriff will bring the family, the parents to the judge. Then the county, well, the county attorney first, but he'll make her an offer. Oh, just pay this amount of money for the truancy citations and we'll let you go. No, we're not paying you anything. So she says, I can't find the ISLN number for Cade Foster, Cade, C-A-D-E Foster from the McCracken County, Kentucky prosecutor's office.
Okay.
So I go looking in a federal database. Well, his name is Daniel Cade Foster. Why isn't he practicing as Daniel? Does your dad work there too and you have the same name? There's some reason that you're going by your middle name, but also Daniel Cade Foster cannot find in the federal database where everyone else's bar cards are there, but not one for him. So I don't know that he doesn't have a bar card, but I'm asking.
Yep.
So I put it in the letter. Okay. Awesome. And then we went, I said, go find the attorney general. So she goes that. So she does that. The attorney general of Kentucky, and he's innocent so far, you know, he hasn't done any, but who could stop this unlawful sheriff? So that would be Attorney General Russell Coleman. I go looking for his ISLN number and we find that. So it's very interesting. And I wrote, you all have the authority to contact Sheriff Ryan Young for this extensive list of rights violations, or all of you will also face bar grievances.
Yes.
Filed for neglect to prevent a violation of rights. Now, the bar is not our friend, and they're probably not going to care about the grievance. They might not even do anything because they're all, the bar is all statutory.
Yes.
However, their insurance companies do. And so upon the filing, their insurance companies would get notified that they're possibly violating people's rights, which is why they have insurance. They're outside of the scope of their immunity. And when they get two complaints, they'll probably get dropped for their insurance. So you have power. You just don't know it.
Right.
So if this interests you, please join me in Alienable University. And we'll find out where this goes. Those are going to get mailed out today. Very exciting. Right, Tamara?
Yes, great to know that you have the rights to stand up. And I did want to comment about the color of law. The color of law, it's between the rules and our laws. Laws are black and white. You know, you either have harmed somebody or you haven't. And so when you have a coloring picture, you've got all the black and white lines. And that's what law is. Color of law is when you have a judge come up with statutory and he starts coloring and this other judge will color whatever color he wants. So it's not the actual true law. They just make it up.
I'm blown away, Ninja. I am blown away by that unbelievably
training there, you know, make it
simple explanation. Because, and Scott will say, when you're in administrative courts, where Donald Trump is right now in that state court, because look at the correlation. That judge, oh, you can't talk about things, but these people can. Mm-hmm. He's coloring. Color of law, it's administrative. Donald Trump never had to enter that venue. Maybe he's doing it to expose the corruption. I feel like he knows. I don't know if he knows, but I feel like he does. And I'll tell you why. Because at the inauguration, which I got a last minute invitation to at 8 a.m. the morning of the Donald Trump inauguration, someone's like, we've got an extra ticket in room. And I'm like, well, I've never jumped on a flight same day. And I asked this neighbor, could you watch my dog for 2 days? I don't even know the neighbor, but he said, yes, he's a nice guy. So I jumped on a plane to go. He stood there and the whole speech, like rewatch the speech, you guys. He says, we're taking power from Washington and restoring it to the people. So I think he does know. And in the new version of my book that's in production right now, I like to change the cover and the book evolves as I learn more things. I have inserted a lot more information about living in the private as we've come to know it. And I put Donald Trump a photo of him at the inauguration with the powder blue carpet, because everybody knows that's the inauguration. And I took that quote because that's what the Inalienable University does. That's what my book Freedom does. It introduces you to these concepts and topics. I know we didn't mean to go this long, but it's so great to talk to you because look how freaking smart you are. So you guys, if you want to learn about this, and it can be intimidating. And so that's why, Tamara, remember we had our first affidavits and we were at an event, and there's the lady that we kind of started emulating. You can always start with the templates. So we have templates. So we have your class, and then your class brings people into the larger class where if you want to stand, you're going to have to write a letter. But we have tons of templates and samples. So we asked this lady, hey, could you just look over our, we're so insecure. Could you please look over our affidavit? And I think it was your dog bite affidavit. Maybe I don't remember, but, or the other thing, you know, the CPS thing. Could you just look it over for Tim? She says, darling, it's your letter, you know, like, okay, we just did pay for your stuff. You could be nice, but we are nice and we will look over your letters. We are just not throwing you out there because I want you to stand more than I want your money. Like if you come in here and you're not learning, like someone came in, some dude, didn't learn anything about living in the private, immediately wants to buy my traffic ticket class. Well, you're not getting it because it's not going to make sense to you. You have to understand the principles of standing. So we could talk all day, Tamara. We could go for 10 hours, like, and do a marathon.
It's so empowering to know all this. It's
empowering. You will walk the world differently. Don't you drive differently? Like I'm driving yesterday. I would go to my butcher, which is like 25 minutes away. And it's very, that direction doesn't have a lot of traffic. I'm going 95 in my seat. I've got Don't Stop Believing is playing. And to me, that reminds me of the Jersey Shore. So that made me think of this cute guy I kissed at the Jersey Shore. And I'm like, what if he's still in my phone? You know what I mean? Yeah. But you're driving.
You do. And
you're like, boom, boom. And I am not worried about police pulling me over. Not in the least bit. And once upon a time, I would have been someone that would have just like, we do teach you. If you're not, you'll evolve into being more tenacious. But let's say it's your first time. I created this, my $1 million idea. That's not really going to make me $1 million, but for the sake of clarity, we teach you the script. So once you go in the private driving, that I made this, I had this idea for so long and I did not know the name of this flimsy plastic. Like, you know, the plastic that you get your oil change sticker.
Yeah.
You can just put, so I made the script of if you get pulled over after you're in the private. So it's like, yay big. And you put it in the corner of your window. If you go, okay, here's the question. Hello, officer. What is the emergency? What is your badge number? And you look at your NASC. Who cares if they know you're reading? Who cares? What is your, and I don't remember right now off the top of my head what the thing is.
Yeah, what's
you
the predicate crime?
What's the predicate crime? And so you ask him questions that lead him into admitting you're in a custodial stop because they cannot pull you over without a predicate crime. Speeding is not a predicate crime. They cannot look at your license plate and decide that you are in commerce. So there's a lot of details to it. That's one of our most extraordinary classes, and we urge you to set yourself free. All right. Tell me to shut up. Okay. You need to tell me, Gianna, shut up. I've got to go. Thank you for checking us out. And you can meet Tamara inside the Inalienable University. Like, don't you have it up all day?
Ever. I love it.
Thank you. You're just the most wonderful member ever. We have so many great, a year and a half. So some people are like, how long will this take? It takes as long as you want, but people really don't leave. The only people who leave is like, there's people that
get it, that don't
they
have
don't get it.
It takes a lot of courage.
It takes a lot of tenacity to stand up. And so as soon as you come in, there's a map. These are the problems we solve because you got a 3-day free trial. I want you to know exactly what we do. So if it's for you, you stay. If it's not for you, you leave. We haven't exchanged money yet. And then there is the paragraph that one of our other amazing members, John likes when I mention him in the show, but he feels special. But he wrote this great paragraph like, this is not for you. Like, they're not going to say, oh, here's your rights.
No.
You have to stand. You have to exercise. Like this woman we're doing for her with the letters. So
if we don't do it for our children, nothing will change.
It'll be worse for your children. It'll be worse. All right. I'm producing. Let me get the outro information. Thank you so much. We love and appreciate that you listen to our show. You know what's great? You can still hear me, right?
Yeah.
is to have like Scott's shows are very serious and it's, he's with the law, which I love and we meet, but it's great that we'll shoot the shit. Like
have a little different dynamic
in reality. Yeah. A little,
I'm obviously like, you know,
less technical. Well, thank you. That went on longer, but I thought it was so amazing. Oh, I didn't end the recording yet. Okay. Thank you, sweetie. I'll see you later.